Kirk.
What? We'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very not.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, what up, what up? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Anna rocking alongside Gary St. James. Got Lucas Alexander holding it down behind the glass for us tonight. Reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And later on in the show, we will be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. That's later on in the show, of course. If you want to talk Dubs with St. 888-957-9570. That is the line to hit us up on if you want to talk some Warriors shooty hoop. Well, Saint, I was reading a Monty Poole article. Love reading Monty Poole. This was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, at the start of this 8 games out of 9 stretch at home and the only road game being in Sacramento. That's saying, hey, if they go 6-3, shows real progress. Anything above that is a bonus. 5-4 worse, and then you kind of see that Golden State isn't ready to make a push. Well, they're 2-3 through the first 5 games of this 9-game stretch without a plane flight. Maybe you should be 3-2, though they certainly earned that loss late against the Sacramento Kings, but I don't know. This 2-3 pretty much kind of sums up who they are right now.
Well, Bill Parcells will tell you, a record tells you who you are. I really respect Monty. He's had a great career. And, Kev, the reality is there's a half a season to go. And if you can get Kuminga and Green back, you're going to have a chance for one of these lower-level playoff spots, the play-in spots. And there's nothing at all wrong with that. Listen, you've been decimated by injuries. I'm watching the game the other night, and these are two of your guys in Santos and Post. They're playing at the end of the game. And I'm looking out there, and I'm like, holy moly. Now, boy, I'm happy for those two guys. They're doing a terrific job. But the reality is, you're probably playing against some all-pros out there at the end of the game, and you know, players win the games. There's a lot of statistical or strategy stuff that goes on, but you've been whacked hard, and you just got to hang in there, get one tonight, and it looks like Kuminga's going to be out a couple more weeks, but maybe Draymond will be back soon, and if there was anything positive, I thought that, I really thought that Podzimski played well. I thought Payton played well, and, this is a tough sledding. It's hard.
Yeah, we're going to touch on a lot of stuff you got in there. Quentin and Guy, we're going to be talking about them later on the show. Draymond and Kuminga, hopefully Draymond's going to be back sooner rather than later. Kuminga, we'll get into that, but it doesn't sound like he's super close. But how difficult is it really to assess where this team really is at? Because they were struggling significantly before Draymond and Kuminga got injured. Then Kuminga started to play well, and it looked like maybe they were going to turn the corner. They get to 18-16, and then it's just kind of flip-flopping, and people saying, oh, yeah, the Warriors have hit an abyss. I mean, they really haven't hit an abyss. I mean, they haven't lost more than 2 games in a row in about a month. And so it hasn't been like just this one huge slide. They'll lose a couple, they'll win one, they'll lose a couple, they'll win two. It just they kind of just hovered around 500 for the last month.
You're spot on, Kev. And here's the deal. That's true as a team, and it's also true individually with the players. By and large, Steph's had a heck of a year, but the opponent is sending the artillery after him every single night. Indicative was the Laker game in the second half. But, shooters got to make shots. And if Schroeder and Hield are not going to make a lot of shots, it puts some heat on other guys. Andrew Wiggins shows flashes of just being a complete all-around heck of a player. And then there's other nights. And this happens to guys. That defines you as a player. You can have your flash nights, But can you bring it consistently? We've seen some Moody. He's looked pretty good. I just want to wait for those two guys to get back. And I think when they get back, there's enough time to be in the running for, 8, 9, 10 in the West.
Yeah, I mean, they're only like four games out of fifth right now. So
yeah, there you go.
A lot
I mean,
could happen.
It's a crazy race, Kev.
Yeah, it really is. And we'll get to the Western Conference standings as the show goes on. But let's move to the Lakers' loss, 118-108 on Saturday. We'll start with Anthony Davis because he controlled that game. 36 points, 13 rebounds. And Doris Burke was saying it on the telecast, just anything in the middle of the floor, Anthony Davis controlled. And that 18-footer, it's always been unstoppable. It was the case again on Saturday night. And it's good to see him healthy because yep. He had had so many injury troubles. But 76 games played last year. He's already at 41 games played, including tonight. And last I saw, he was at like 36 points and 18 rebounds through three quarters against the Charlotte Hornets tonight. He's a force.
Well, I'm watching that game right now, and he's playing the exact same way he did against the Warriors. And let me share the game plan of J.J. Redick. Sure, LeBron's one of the greatest players to ever play the game, but you can't ask him to carry this team at 40 years old. And they've gone to Davis and said, hey, everything is going to go through you. And they run a lot of stuff off the elbows, which is the corner of the intersection of the lane and the free throw line. And from there, they get back picks for him and roll him down to the middle. He runs the floor, rim runs really well. He's a great offensive rebounder. And I was critical in the old days when we were doing the TV, Papa and myself, because when he was in New Orleans, he missed so much time. It was just a shame because the guy is unbelievably talented. He's not going to start in the All-Star game, but I think he's had a heck of a year, and he's the key to that team. There isn't any doubt about it. When you get past Reeves, there's not a lot of real high echelon players on that team. So he and LeBron have to really carry the load.
Yeah, they do. Now, I do like what Dalton Connect can be in the future. Dorian Finney-Smith is giving them some nice minutes as kind of a more of a defensive starter for that team. But you're right. There is a huge, huge drop-off after Austin Reeves. On the Warriors side of things, of course, the big note there, Stephen Curry scoreless in the second half. He had a good first half. 13 points, 4 of 9 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, but then it just kind of all fell apart for Golden State, at least from the Steph scoring perspective, in the second half, 0-for-8, and this is from Om Yongmasuk of ESPN, tied for the worst shooting half in his career, 7 of his 8 shots in the second half contested, and look, it's going to happen, it's a one-game sample size, I'm not worried at all about Stephen Curry, but the Lakers just did not give him any airspace on Saturday.
Well, you got the thought process, you got to make him a driver. Get up there and crowd him. And if he beats you off the bounce, that's my fault. You take away the three. And when he has the ball up top, I'm going to call it the elbows and the boxes. Now, what do we mean by that? You formulate like a box with four guys that are not guarding him. And you're playing like a box in one when it's up on top. When it goes to the side, you send a guy, extra guy over from the baseline, get to the box to allow that guy to really get up and crowd him. So it's a standard defense that he sees. He's just so nifty in two-man game and then off the bounce. He's so special. You're not going to see that again. Now, I got to take 1 minute to tell you a quick story about Dalton Connect.
Oh, please do.
So my grandson William was 6 on Friday. So on Martin Luther King Day, I had 22 kindergarten boys from St. Isidore's. And Kev, I brought my whistle out. I did a basketball clinic for them.
Nice.
And we had a blast. Friday was the birthday, nice family dinner. So Uncle Greg's coming up with the Lakers, and we go to the game. We get there early. LeBron's working out at one end. Steph's down the other. How the heck are you going to get better than that? We're sitting on the floor. And I don't know why, but William's favorite guy on the Lakers is Connect. So he gets a Connect t-shirt. So Uncle Greg takes, of course they win, so everybody's happy. He takes him in the locker room after the game, and Connect signs the shirt, goes in the locker room, meets all the players. And it makes me feel really old because I remember doing that stuff with Greg when he was six. So this is unbelievable. I'm having the time of my life watching this young guy have so much fun. And he's telling me, Papa, what do you think of this guy, number so-and-so? And I said, Papa can't remember the numbers anymore, but I know the guys. And he's, and they're all laughing at me. So it was a special night for our family, even though it wasn't a great outcome for the Warriors.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm curious now that you mentioned that you would do this with your son, Greg. Who was Greg most starstruck by when you took him to meet an NBA player?
Yeah, one All-Star game in Atlanta, I knew Ahmad Rashad, Quinn Buckner, and Michael, and we're at the Ritz, and Michael's sitting there, and Greg's mouth, his chin goes down to the floor. He said, Dad, that's Michael Jordan. So I said, come on, we'll go over there. So we shake hands with everybody, and then he says to me, Dad, I don't have anything he can sign. What am I going to do? So I said, I'll talk to these guys for a while, and you go up and get something from the room. So he comes back, and Michael signs something for him. And just those memories for me. You know, yeah. And he loved Mully. He loved Mitch. And then he got to be a ball boy for 7 years with Eric Housen. And so he's got some phenomenal memories of the Warriors. It's great stuff.
Man, no, that's a great story about getting the autograph there from MJ. That's awesome to hear. But I do think Dalton Connect, I think he has a pretty nice future
there.
He's got
a chance.
For the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? When you're playing with two Hall of Fame guys, they create a lot of attention. So there's a lot of double teams, a lot of over-aggressive help. He's just got to drift into the right spots and make shots. And, just be confident in yourself. Keep on playing hard. Rebound, defend. And if you miss a shot, just go to the next one. But I think he's got a bright upside.
The 74th All-Star Game is taking place at Chase Center on Sunday, February 16th, with other NBA All-Star events happening throughout the weekend at locations across the Bay Area. Sign up for updates and learn more at warriors.com/all-star. We'll take a break. Come on back. Talk a little more about Stephen Curry being an All-Star starter, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Draymond and Kuminga, and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
Shaq Kevin and Shaq Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
The WNBA is coming to Chase Center in May. The Valkyries inaugural season presented by Kaiser Permanente kicks off May 16th. Learn more at valkyries.com. Well, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. Again, that number, 415-523-4652. And if you are caller number 7, you'll get a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors home game. We'll announce the winner later on. We'll be doing this all year long for a Warriors roundtable ticket giveaway. Let's go back to the last home game that Golden State played, the 118-108 loss to the Lakers primetime Saturday night. And I did want to touch on this with Trayce Jackson-Davis. Now, he's been rebounding very well as of late. He's had some really good games. He was just 2 of 6 from the field in that game. He was denied by Anthony Davis on a dunk. But it had felt to me like he had been missing more around the rim this year. And so I went and looked on NBA.com. He was 70% as a rookie on shots around the basket, like in the restricted area thereabouts. This year, that's down to 58%. Now, it was 59% last year. I'm just curious how concerned you are with respect to his rim finishing, Saint. Is there anything you are seeing from Trayce when he's around the rim this year as opposed to last year?
You know, the first thing I look with bigs is their balance. You know, are the feet shoulder width apart? When they get in really tight, you know, heels to heels, you can't jump as well. And how, when you gather, are you really bending your knees a lot? Do you need to? And he doesn't. He is what I call raw strong. He's just, He moves people when he just touches them. He is a heck of an NBA body. And to me, it's about watching film with Ron Adams and all the guys there and evaluating, you know, is he waiting a count too long? Is he overthinking? You know, does he have the opportunity to get it and he's hesitant? And the way I look at it is this guy had a heck of a run and it's gone down a little bit. But at the end of the day, I've got a lot of positive feelings about him. I think he's really a piece for your future. He's still really young. And I think he's gotten better in some areas this year. And, you know, a little step, you take two steps forward, one step back. He's going to be fine. Just go to work and find out what you're doing and what you can do better.
Yeah, to be clear, I am not concerned about Trayce Jackson-Davis's future. Not at all. I think he's been really solid this year, generally speaking. There's just one thing that has kind of stood out to me. By the way, shout out to Sandra in San Ramon. She is the winner for that pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors home game. So Sandra in San Ramon, our winner tonight, our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. We'll be doing this all year long for the rest of the regular season until there are no more games to give out tickets to this year. Well, there will be a chance to see Stephen Curry on February 16th at Chase Center because he will be an All-Star starter. He breaks the Warriors' record for being an 11-time All-Star. Just an incredible accomplishment. I know the numbers are down scoring-wise this year for Steph, a little more than 4 points per game. But he is averaging more than an assist more per game this year, from 5.1 last year to 6.4 this year. And I know Matt Steinmetz, who I have a lot of respect for and a really a knowledgeable guy with all things Warriors in the NBA. I know he had a take that certainly caught some fans, got some fans going online today, shall we say, about Steph. But when he's healthy, through my eyes, it doesn't look like he has lost much of a step at all, if any. I know he's had some nagging injuries this year, but 2 months away from 37, he is still a guy that draws a lot of gravity and is very, very good, still one of the best in the game.
Kev, I wish we could dial it back and look at the early years and his ability to go to the hoop. He'd get knocked off balance all the time. He didn't finish well. And now every single game, because they're crowding him so much, if he has a lane, he's a phenomenal finisher at the basket. And as I said before, you know, you've got 10 eyes on him all the time. You let somebody else beat you. Don't let him get going, because that's when coaches sweat on the opposing bench. When he makes a couple, you're going, oh, geez, here we go. And so with that said, you get better players around him. The game gets more open for him. You're going to see more shots go down.
Hey, I mean, it's probably why fans want the front office to take a big swing, because they see when he has those games where he just explodes on someone, you remember kind of why you fell in love with basketball in the first place.
Yeah.
If you are of a certain age, if you are a younger fan and you grew up watching Stephen Curry and he was kind of your introduction to basketball, or if you're an older fan, why you fall in love with basketball all over again. But he's an All-Star for the 11th time. Give you quickly who the starters are. Eastern Conference: Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns, Jason Tatum, Giannis Antetokounmpo. In the Western Conference: Steph, of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. Any qualms with any of those 10 for you, saying anyone you felt like got the shaft? I know that the fans wanted to see LaMelo Ball, but I would remind them that they're like 12 and 30 or something like that.
No. I think this year's is probably as sharp as they've done as far as making the picks. I'm watching Anthony Davis. He certainly deserves to be in that conversation of the next two or three players, but how the heck do you argue with Jokic and LeBron and Durant up front? The West has a heck of a team that Steph played with at Chase in a couple of weeks. And when will the subs come out, Kev? In another few days or another week?
Yeah, they should be coming out soon. I think it's usually a week or two after the starters are announced. I imagine that will be one of those Thursday night things on TNT.
Oh, okay.
Where they will. I could be wrong on that, but yeah. that should be coming shortly. And so great to see Steph set a new Warriors record by being an All-Star for the 11th time in a Warriors uniform. The guy who passed Paul Arizin did it 10 times. Saint, yeah. I know you know a lot of people in this business. What are your thoughts on Paul Arizin?
Well, he was the consummate, you know, 6'6 forward scorer back in the old days. Strong, create his own shot. You know, back in the old days, back when he played for the Philadelphia Warriors, there was no switching. There was no double teaming. You guarded your own guy, mano a mano, every single night. And he had an ability to get to the rim, quality shooter, just a lot of poise. And just this is all secondhand. I'm old, but not that old that I saw him play. And so I'll tell you, there's a lot of respect. I heard a lot about him from Al Attles, and he had the ultimate respect for him.
Yeah, no. So, and his family released a nice statement when Steph was officially named an All-Star starter and an All-Star for the 11th time, passing Paul for that for the most All-Star selections in Warriors franchise history. So, congrats to Steph. Let's move on to injury updates for Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga, because they were given earlier today. This is straight from Warriors PR, what I'm about to read. Draymond Green suffered a strained left calf, of course, against the Washington Wizards. He's missed the last four games. The PR report says the reevaluation indicated that Green is making good progress. He's been doing light on-court work, is expected to rejoin parts of team practices in the coming days. His status will be monitored day-to-day. At this point, Warriors forward Jonathan Kuminga, of course, he suffered the right ankle injury. He sprained it against the Memphis Grizzlies right as he was really taking off his last seven games before the injury. He was doing really, really well. He's missed the last 11 games. The reevaluation indicated that Kuminga is making good progress. He's expected to begin light on-court individual workouts in the next week. He will be reevaluated again in 2 weeks. So it's sounding like for Kuminga, we probably aren't going to see him before the All-Star game.
Now, you're the great math guy. Am I figuring out that's almost going to be 5 weeks?
That would be 5 weeks, yeah. Two weeks.
That's a heck of a sprain. You know, I was walking out last night, and I was going Saturday, and walking down the tunnel to the locker room, and I was chatting with Draymond, with William and his pal Harry, and he was in great spirits. And he said to me, I'm not far away. They're being cautious, and but I feel for Kuminga, because you made a great point. He was playing the best basketball of his career. I mean, he was doing a heck of a job. So you feel for the guy, and I hope he can come back. And, you know, young guys have young legs, and you hope he can get going right away and start playing at a high level. Because, boy, I like it when he's attacking the rim and doing a heck of a job like that.
You want to hit us up, 888-957-9570, if you want to talk Warriors basketball here on Warriors Roundtable for the next 30 minutes or so. And to your point, Saint, here are the numbers for Jonathan Kuminga in his last seven games before the injury. He was averaging 22.7 points, 7.1 rebounds. I know that's a number you like, because he's been around four rebounds per game his entire career. And then the one I really like, 9.1 free throw attempts per game.
That's You know what? You just hit on two big, big things. That's growth. That's really, really positive. Those free throw attempts and the rebounding. You know, we're seeing him just when he gets downhill. Of course, when you play good team defense, when you get a defensive rebound, when you get in the open floor, his eyes probably get as big as saucers. Because if he gets out on the wing, holy moly, he loves it. So, you know, those are all positive things. And, you know, we could talk contracts and all that kind of thing. Let's hope he plays his tail off and does terrific and makes it an easy decision for the Warriors.
Well, let's head out to the phone lines again. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Marty in Kings territory in Sacramento. Marty, what's going on?
Get out of here with those Kings.
Thanks, fellas, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, yeah,
I got two questions for you. First is who you think will take the biggest leap forward on this team next year? Is it Trace Jackson Davis? And then the second question I have is kind of a fun one. If you had to go back in your time machine and pluck somebody off the bench and from the 2015, 2017, or 2018 teams, who would you put on this team and why would you put them on this team and why would they be a fit? But again, thanks for taking my call and go Bells.
Boy, those are
go Bells.
Good questions.
Let's go.
Wow.
Thank you.
How about that? Up there in the Sacramento area. You know, I think a couple of the, I would kind of agree. It's a safe, conservative, positive pick if you were to say that a double-double is not out of the vision for the future of Davis. I think that's there. And, you know, we talk about Kuminga and we talk about Podzinski and Moody and these guys, but, you know, that's a darn good pick. And gosh, Kev, you gotta step up and help here. You know how I am remembering years and certain guys. Throw some guys out and let's talk about them.
Well, yeah, to
for
me,
his second point.
Yeah, which is a great question, Marty. By the way, go Bells. Thank you very much. BCP, best high school in the world. But to me, it's Andre Iguodala. If you could have his connective tissue, if you could have his perimeter defense, and in 2015, Andre Iguodala was still a very, very athletic player. So that, I mean, he was the finals MVP that year. So that would be the guy I would go with. Some other options that you think about those teams. Obviously, a Sean Livingston is someone that comes to mind. 2018, the scoring punch that Quinn Cook would give you from time to time, I think would be a nice boost. But yeah, to me, it's Andre Iguodala, and there is no second person for me personally.
Kev, when you look at a basketball player, what a body.
Yes.
What a basketball IQ. What a great team and individual defender. What a teammate. You know, a big-time player in Philadelphia, and they had the conversation about coming off the bench, and he wanted to win, and he was willing to do it, and I thought that was one of the key moves to these championships. And, you know, we get to those big playoff series, and he'd be locking people up. Now, some guys who don't know the game that well, when they look back way back in Philly, they say, well, geez, you know, he doesn't score like 25 or 30 or stuff. No, he doesn't have to do that. That's not his role in helping you win the game. And who finishes the game? Who's running point forward? Who's guarding the other best wing? He had the ultimate respect from the coaches and players on the Warriors back in those days. So I think you're 200% right on answering that question.
Yeah, I guess an honorable mention I would give to JaVale McGee for the vertical spacing he brought.
Yeah, I don't
years.
Think anybody, I mean, anybody's in the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I just wanted to shout JaVale out because I do think he had a nice role.
He was a character.
he was a character. And he was a guy who they brought in on a training camp contract. Like, he did not have a guaranteed deal going into that 16-17 season, and then he just really unlocked a lot of stuff for them off the bench. You know, he only played 10 minutes a game, so it certainly wasn't the minutes that Andre was getting, but he had a nice two-year stint and really extended his NBA career as a result by winning a couple of championships with the Golden State Warriors. So, Marty, thank you for the call. And going from one former big to another current big for Golden State, how about Quinton Post and his ascension into the rotation? He's had a couple of really solid games in a row. He looks very confident shooting the three. And really, for me, Saint, you might think that a guy that's spent almost the entire year in the G League might be a little hesitant when he gets out there, but there is no hesitation in his shots at all. And he kind of said as much after the game against the Chicago Bulls, where he scored 20 points, that, look, I was brought up here to space the floor and shoot. I'm going to take the shots that are good shots. Luckily, a few went in. Well, more than a few went in, as he had five threes in that game.
Well, if you know, you know, I got a lot of roots to Boston College. My college roommate, Gene DeFilippo, was the AD for 19 years. And then my wife, MJ's, almost her entire family went to Boston College. I loved that school. So I took a lot of interest. When they got drafted that guy, I went, whoo, what's this deal? Well, you know, he's the perfect pick-and-pop guy in today's game. What do we mean by that? Pick and roll means the big rolls to the basket. He gets into the paint, tries to get the defense to contract on him to open shots for teammates. And if they don't contract or rotate, he's going to be open for a dunk. He's not going to do that. He's going to pop out to the three-point line opposite the ball handler. Kev, 24 years old, 4 years in college. These are the kind of guys you got in the old days that were there for 4 years and really knew how to play. You know one of my favorite things about this guy? He gave a ton of credit to the G League coaches.
Yes, he did.
I love that. He just said, hey, these guys spent so much time with me, and I learned the defensive principles of the Warriors team up here in the Bay Area versus down in Santa Cruz. I learned the offense, which is the same. So that's a real credit to Nick and all those guys down there. Great job by them. And this guy, as you said, let me tell you something. When a coach sees a guy that can make shots, there'll be a finding a way to play the guy. Now, yeah. There's a little new, and I think he's got a decent feel for the game. I saw him make a couple good passes. He'll put his body in there. He's not going to jump very high or block shots, but go to your strengths. Stay the heck away from your weaknesses.
You know, you mentioned the physical part, and I think kind of a stigma that fans have developed of stretch bigs, if you will, guys, fives who space the floor, is that they're soft, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Quinton Post is not soft. This guy, he's got some nasty to him. You'll see it in the G League games. You see how he gets physical out there on an NBA floor. There's a little something to that dude, and he turns it on. He's not going to back down from anybody from a physicality standpoint either. So that's good to see.
He's capitalized on an opportunity with injuries, and I'm telling you, as I say all the time, there's 29 other teams, and they've got guys watching every game, and they've made note of this guy. And I think this is the start of a nice career for this guy, and hopefully he can stay here and grow. And, you know, you need 3-4 bigs, and especially if that guy can make shots. That's a great, great thing. So good for him. Go Boston College Eagles.
Yes, go BC Eagles for sure. Now in the same conference as Cal and Stanford, by the way. So they'll be making some treks out here over the years.
Yeah.
And when you think about the Netherlands, of course, in years past in basketball, you think about Rick Smits, the dunking Dutchman,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
went to Marist College.
Marist, the Red Foxes. Go Red Foxes.
Best line of the night by Kev.
Yeah. I remember their women's basketball team was a 13 seed. They played, and they came to Stanford.
Oh, my gosh.
This was maybe 14, 15 years ago, somewhere around there.
Oh,
and as
man.
A 13 seed, they advanced out of the Stanford bracket into the Sweet 16.
Right down the road from West Point.
I didn't know it was that close to Army.
Yeah, not that far.
Very nice. But what I was going to say is, so Rick Smits was kind of carried the banner for Dutch basketball. Well, there were four guys in this past draft class, Quinn Post included, that are from the Netherlands. Now, Post was the only one who got drafted, but Jesse Edwards is on a two-way contract with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Malavi Leones is on a two-way contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Tristan Anarunu, he's sort of a call-up candidate. I wouldn't say he's going to get called up to the NBA this year, but he was in training camp with the Boston Celtics. So those four guys, I actually met some Dutch coaches at the G League Showcase. They were there to watch their Dutch very nice guys, I mean, they got sights on a future Olympics appearance. Now it's going to be tough, but
great.
But let's head back out to the phone lines in San Mateo where Tom is hanging out. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how we doing, gentlemen? Second time calling here.
Thanks for calling in, Tom.
First of all, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask Coach and both you gentlemen, what do we think about, you know, we're seeing Draymond being out for a few games. I mean, and knowing that he seems to get a little more injury prone, we can't run that top of the three-point line high pick and roll screen anymore when he's out. We don't have that big body to run that point forward. Do we look for a, not a substitute? You're never going to substitute a Hall of Famer, but, and also, Coach, I wanted to congratulate you on your nephew's sixth birthday. I'm sure it was a very good time, sir.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks for thinking I'm that young that it was my nephew. It was my grandson. And you know what? I got to tell you, you put a team together, and it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. You know, when you look at Draymond when he came in, he was playing behind Lee. And you said, geez, this guy's tough. He's aggressive, plays bigger than he is. Then you saw the feel for the game. And then you saw the expertise on defense and the competitive nature. Kev, now you watch a lot of games. I don't see guys that have that tool set. He's just a unique, unique player. And it works so good because of Steph and Clay. And that's the puzzle right there. And then you fit in around those guys. So can you go out and get a guy like that? Nah. You know, who else is running point forward like he's done for 12 years? There aren't many teams. And if you have a forward that can really handle like that, boy, it's a big bonus to your offense. And, you know, I keep looking at these guys and, you know, you and I talk a lot about Moody, and I'm looking for guys to have that confidence, not necessarily to be a pure point forward, but to be a facilitator, to have the confidence if they run at you at the three line to put the ball down on the floor, make the defense commit to you to take away the layup. Now can you make the secondary play? Can you kick it out to that weak side for somebody to have a wide open shot? Now that sounds pretty darn simple. But to consistently do that, boy, that takes your assist numbers way up. And I'm going to go back to that Bulls game and all those guys coming off the bench having phenomenal games. What blew me away, what was it, Kev? 38 assists and like 8 or 10 turnovers. And that's Warrior basketball at its best.
Yes, Warriors basketball at its best for sure. I mean, if you're not getting Nikola Jokic, there really isn't going to be a point forward that you want running the Warriors offense outside of Draymond Green. Like, now, hey, Denver, if you're open to trading Jokic, I am all ears over here. So you know, but really, I mean, he is such a unique player. But Tom, thank you very much for the call. We are running up on another break. So before we do that, we want to let you know to make game day unforgettable with food and beverage bundles. Get 2 tickets, 2 hot dogs, and 2 fountain drinks for just $80 per person for the January 29th home game against the Thunder, and $70 per person for the February 3rd home game against the Magic. Visit Warriors.com to get this offer today. We'll take a break, come on back, talk a little pods, talk a little upcoming schedule, and more. Taking your calls if you want to hit us up. You know the number, 888-957-9570, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound. Look, stop that, chicken. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster right here on 95.7, starting with tomorrow night's game against the Utah Jazz, 6:30 p.m. airtime, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. That's Hello Kitty night. I should bring bacon to that game. My 9.5-year-old fluff ball who's hanging around somewhere around here around the apartment. Then the following evening on Wednesday, it's the Lunar New Year celebration presented by Cache Creek Casino Resort as the Warriors take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Then Friday at home against the Phoenix Suns, 6:30 p.m. airtime, 7 p.m. tip time presented by NBC Sports. Then they wrap up the 6-game homestand on February 3rd, next Monday, against the Orlando Magic, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. That is Black History Month celebration. And then they're on the road at the Utah Jazz Wednesday, February 5th, 6 p.m. tip time, 5:30 on the air with Tim Roy on the call. Of course, it was last year, last February in Utah, Klay Thompson had the big, big game off the bench, and he had a big, big first quarter tonight. He was 7 of 10 from 3 in the first quarter for the Dallas Mavericks, and he has 23 points in this game. They have a slight lead over the Washington Wizards right now. That score is 80 to 43 in the third quarter. It has been a rough season for the Wizards. I don't know if you listen to the Hoop Collective podcast at all, Brian Windhorst podcast, Gary, but Tim McMahon refuses to call them the Wizards. He calls them the Lizards. Can't have a W in their in their nickname, so replace it with an L. But good to see Klay Thompson have a big game today. And it was, as we take a look at the Utah Jazz, obviously that was a big performance. Klay, his first game off the bench last February in Utah in, I think it was 12 years at the time. But this, you got to win this one. I don't care who's available for Golden State or not. You're winning this game. You have to win this game. No bones about it. Utah, I mean, obviously the guys on the floor are trying to win the game, but Danny Ainge would not be the saddest person in the world if the Jazz lose that game, shall we say.
No, I don't think he'd mind being in the run to get that young guy from Duke. You know, and they've got a ton of first-round picks. Kev, you know, they're a little bit of an enigma for me. Markkanen hasn't had as good a year. Why? I can't explain to you. You know, I love Kessler, and he had a period where he wasn't even playing. And Collins is playing very well. And Sexton and Clarkson are more scoring, smaller guards, but they're, you know, they're very serviceable. There's no doubt about it. And so you can't take them light at all. They can get it going out there. And I don't understand why they haven't won more.
Yeah, I mean, they have dudes. And remember last year, even though they finished horrendously last year because they were trying to finish horrendously.
Yes.
You know, they made those trades at the trade deadline. They were around 500 for the first 50 games of the season last year. And it was 2 years ago, they were like the number one team in the West through like the first two or three weeks of the season. Them and Portland got off through these incredible starts and before they came back down to earth. But, yeah, I mean, Keontae George last year, he had like 6 or 8 threes against
There's another good name.
One game. Yeah, I saw him at the Nike Hoop Summit when he was in high school. I like Keontae George. I'm telling you, they're going to be playing this guy off the bench hopefully around 15, 16 minutes last night or tomorrow night. Elijah Harkless, who I've seen in the G League the last couple of years, a big fan of this dude, just the defensive intensity he brings, on-ball pressure, a guy who can get downhill offensively. But you mentioned Lauri Markkanen. So his all-star season in the 22-23 season 2 years ago, he averaged 25.6 points per game. 8.6 rebounds, shot 50 from the field, and 39 from three. This year, 20 points per game, 6.1 rebounds per game, 43 from the field, and 36 from three. I know, obviously, those are still good numbers, don't get me wrong, but certainly a dip. He was linked to the Warriors in the offseason.
Yeah.
In a hypothetical trade to Golden State, how do you think he would fit with this team?
Oh, I think he'd be a beautiful fit with this team. I think he's a, you know, to play for the Warriors, you've got to have a high basketball IQ. You're not going to just get it done with skill. And he's a sharp young player, and he can score from all three levels. You know, he can make threes, he can get you in the mid-range, he can go to the hoop. He plays with a nice positive tempo, and I really like his game. I'll tell you the gosh darn truth. I haven't watched them play the whole year, so I can't really tell you what's going on with him. I'm more focused on the Warriors, the Lakers, the Celtics, those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I've watched much of them at all. I can't remember a game I've watched. If they haven't played the Warriors, I probably haven't watched them this year. I've watched the Salt Lake City Stars about 12 times this year, their G League team. And they were actually just in Santa Cruz for a back-to-back this weekend. They have this guy, Oscar Tshiebwe, who averages 17 rebounds per game. He's on a two-way contract. So it'd be nice to see. I'd be curious to see if he's up in San Francisco for this game. But 17 rebounds per game in the G League, not too shabby. So – you would hope that the Warriors would defeat the Utah Jazz to get back to 500 to 23-23. Then they'd have to face the Oklahoma City Thunder on Wednesday. Boy. And, well, they're the best team in the West, arguably the best team in the NBA, maybe. How can the Warriors win this game? What needs to go right? I mean, obviously a lot needs to go right, but what particularly?
Well, you know, first you got to take care of Utah. Then you get to that one, and maybe you got some momentum. And, you know, maybe Hield and Schroeder really get going, and Moody comes off the bench and knocking down shots. You know, look at the barrage they put up in the second half of that Bulls game. So it's there. It just gotta come to fruition. Now, are you gonna, you know? And here's your thing with Steph. You know, can he play both games? And some nights they're sitting them one. Well, do you roll the bones and try to play Utah without him and try to go at the heavyweight with him? That's a really tough call. You can debate that every other which way. That to get a chance to beat OKC is going to take just an awesome effort. One of the best games you play all year because, boy, I tell you, the more I watch them, they're so connected, Kev. They got great communication on defense. And now Hartenstein's back. But, you know, they played small for a long time. And Dort, to me, is such a unique defender. He is, he's terrific. And then, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you can debate him and Jokic, to me, for the MVP of the league. And then, you know, Williams from Santa Clara is having a heck of a year. And they've got a lot of other guys coming off their bench that can really play. And, you know, Hartenstein has a double-double the other night. And he would be... if he does it, he would be the first guy for them to average that, I think I read. So kudos to them. Of course, I'm pulling for that coach because he grew up about 45 minutes from me, in Massachusetts, so I like him.
Good old Chicopee, Mass. No place better. But you mentioned Hartenstein, and this stat's a couple of weeks old, and I got this from the Hoop Collective podcast. But at one point, if the Thunder had either Hartenstein or Chet Holmgren playing, they were 27-3 when one of those two played.
Wow.
And so they've done decently well enough, obviously, without one of those two, because Chet's been injured since Andrew Wiggins caved his chest in, essentially, on that strong take. And then Hartenstein missed the first part of the season, and he's been in and out of the lineup. But when one of them plays, they win like 90% of the time. So that's very impressive. Very tough. So, look, last couple of minutes, we'll spend it on this. The Warriors are in 11th place at 22-23. They're four games out of fifth and sixth, two games out of seventh. So the whole season's ahead of them. I mean, it feels like now more than ever, seeding just doesn't mean what it used to. I mean, the Mavericks were the 5 seed. They got to the finals last year. The Heat were the 8 seed 2 years ago and got to the finals. So as long as you get into the dance, you give yourself a chance. But they got to start racking up wins right now because ideally you're not in 9th or 10th in the play-in and you get two cracks at it if you can get up into the top 8.
Well, I can't spell it out any better than that. You're right on. And I guess I'd say to the fans, you know, I'd be in there Saturday night. I just love seeing all the people and all their gear on and everything. It's still awesome to go to a game. And don't lose the faith. It can happen. You know, some things can really just come together in a few games, and you're like, holy moly, we got something really good here. So keep it going, and it means a lot. What you guys bring as fans, it really helps the players. It really, really does. And playing at the old Coliseum or playing at with Oracle back in the old days or Chase, the fans here are fabulous, and they're certainly well needed at this point.
That'll do it for us tonight. Big thank you to Lucas Alexander behind the glass, RC Davis, and Marika Kleto on the Warriors side. For Saint, I'm Kevin Dennis saying so long. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Steph, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41. crowd says, I want to take a timeout, because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.